from his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Chris is his real first name. We're not going to say his last name for his own privacy. And we're going to put up some of the video images of him first before we play this Oberman hit piece. We're going to put up some of the images of Chris out there, clean cut, nice white shirt, black tie, with it strapped to his back, perfectly done. They would have really gone wild with it if the gun had been in his hands or, looking like he was aiming it, but it looked very military, very stowed away, very well kept. Not some chubby guy saying, I'm the commander, I'm the real president of America, or I'm the Republic of Texas commander and Heil Hitler or something. Because the feds send those people out. They send them out to look stupid, to act stupid. They've been caught. I told you all those years that Hal Turner was FBI. It's come out in every major case that the major Klan groups and white supremacist groups are run by the FBI. And here's the Associated Press, that he was an agent provocateur. The FBI admits he was an informant, but saying he's not a provocateur for them. Look, there's no doubt that Turner was being handled by him, and it's now, like all their patsies, being set up. After his website got hacked and it came out that he was a Fed being ordered to cause problems, remember we broke that a year ago? He became expendable. But the Feds, through channels, have let us know they're coming after us for this. They are really angry that I've exposed the Southern Poverty Law Center for running McVeigh and being in control of the Elohim City compound with Oklahoma City. When that cop killer who'd been attacking me, white supremacist, see, I don't like the things Israel's doing and the corrupt things they're involved in, but I know a lot of other countries are involved in evil, corrupt things as well. So just because I don't like the Zionist policies doesn't then mean I hate Jews. Or just like I don't like the La Reconquista folks that believe the Southwest belongs to Mexico, but it doesn't mean I dislike Hispanics. The establishment wants to radicalize everybody so we can't have a real debate. And they do the same thing with the Obama posters that they're now removing off Flickr and Facebook and MySpace. And those stories are up on Infowars.com right now. They're doing those same things, saying that if you call Obama a socialist, that's code word for the N-word, which then folks hear that and think, oh my gosh, somebody must be racist if they're saying socialism. And people believe this if the media says it. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And it's outrageous. And I tell you, it makes it even better that he's a clean-cut, well-spoken, and on top of it, a black man out there with his gun strapped to his back, because they couldn't say racist militias were out there wanting to kill Obama. That's not why he was there. And he's going to explain why he was there with open carry. And Chris joins us from Arizona. He lives in Arizona, lives in Phoenix, and he's involved with Ernest Hancock and the other great folks there with Freedom's Phoenix. And he refused to do Fox and CNN and some other channels. That day, so the news got some footage of him being interviewed by Hancock, and CBS picked up on some of the things he had to say. But here he is today, uncensored, unedited, live. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, no problem.
Well, you heard my little rant there. First off, why did you decide to do this? Tell us what it was like actually being there, because this went on for hours. We just saw the snapshot of a few minutes of video from the Associated Press.
I decided a long time ago that maybe I lost a lot of faith in the political process in America. I tried to get involved locally with the Arizona Republican Party, and seeing things from the inside, seeing how things operate, I realized that this whole machine, this left-right Democrat-Republican machine, is just a ploy to pit us against each other so that the winner is always the state, it's always the government. And I think that voting and the political process isn't going to work anymore. And I think it's time for people to just actually stand up and say no to these things that they're putting upon us.
Well, absolutely, and you certainly did that in a loud and clear and decisive way. We've become so ninnied, so broken, so we've capitulated to hiding with our guns in our houses, and now I'm sure you see the articles like I do, where some old man's cleaning his gun in his garage in Texas or places where you think there's a Second Amendment, and neighbors see it and get scared, and the cops come, and they see a gun safe with 10 guns and 1,000 rounds, and they call it an arsenal and take it and arrest him. And the next you hear, he's under psychological evaluation, and they're drugging him. And you see that in Vermont, and you see it in New Hampshire. I mean, this is going on every week, at least. I see it in the news. And so I guess that's why the open carry movement is going, look, our guns aren't illegal. And I've told the story of the carpet cleaner trying to call the cops. Back before I had children, I had a shotgun in my broadcast studio in my house up on the wall, you know, in a gun rack. And the guy freaked out because he thought everything was based in television land, in the dramas he watches based in New York and Chicago, like NYPD Blue, where the cops come in and find a gun and arrest you. The public is so dumbed down, they think guns are illegal. But I'm ranting. I mean, give us your view on that.
Oh, absolutely. If you were there that day, anyone that was around me all day long, you can do that, you can do that, you can do that, you can do that. I can't. Everybody's asking the police, you're just going to let him do that? That's why I'm there, because people don't have a clue. They have no clue.
Now, Oberman and others are trying to do the reverse now of what you're doing. They're saying, look, they do have guns right by the president. They want to kill him. They're white supremacists. Ban them. Because if they're able to do that, that's it for the Second Amendment.
Yeah, well, it's not just if they're able to do that. It's if we're willing to let it happen. I mean, you can't just blame all these people that are coming after them. A lot of the responsibility is on us. I mean, we have to say no, or they're going to run right over us.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, even when I'm in rural areas, no one dare ride around with their gun rack. And if you're walking on by your own property in the middle of nowhere, cops will pull over now and say, what are you doing with that shotgun? Well, I'm out here bird hunting. Well, you know, what are you doing? So you're right. We need to train the police and the establishment that they're not going to be allowed to just create this perception that our guns are illegal and dirty and bad.
Absolutely.
You weren't the only person out there who had firearms. I saw differing reports. I saw 420. I mean, how many people were out there with their firearms?
I've heard the number like 12 a lot, but I didn't do a count. I would estimate that I saw personally maybe 6-7 people total. But there could have been, I'm sure there were some people I didn't notice.
Now, I mean, look, I could gut up to do this, but I have never done it. I mean, how do you not just go out to an event with your rifle or a handgun? You went to nearby where the godlike president was. They hype up all day, you know, like they're Zeus or something. What was it like, though, when you were putting it on your back, getting out of your car? I mean, what was it like as you were marching up? I would imagine the most dangerous point is when cops first see you walking up with a rifle. Do they come over and say, what are you doing? Or are they so aware in Arizona because you've been letting them know you're not their slave that they backed off?
Yeah, I think in Arizona police know it's legal, and they appear to have been trained well, so they all kind of know the story on open carry here. But I thought maybe what I was afraid of was the Secret Service may have just told them, well, in this case, while the president's here, you're going to have to keep people out or whatever. So when I came out of the parking, we parked in a parking garage, like a below ground parking garage. When I first walked out, I was very nervous, but I just thought as long as I'm not touching it, as long as my hands are, you know, where they can see me, and I walk up calmly, and you know, I walked up to a police officer, I nodded my head at him, he nodded back to me, and I said, well, I guess they know the deal then.
Well, you just are a trailblazer, my friend. You're literally for the Second Amendment rights that are some of the most basic. And I'm not just saying this because you're black, but I mean, it fits the analogy. You're like the first person to go in, and so is the fella up in New Hampshire. You're like the first people to go in and sit down at a lunch counter and say, you're going to, you know, serve me. And it's that type of courage that's going to get our Second Amendment back.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, well, the man in New Hampshire definitely definitely helped me to feel a lot better about it, because I saw him. I'm thinking about, am I going to get, what kind of trouble am I going to get into doing this? And then after seeing that he did it and there were really nothing very bad happened, that kind of put my mind at ease a little more.
Well, the social engineers would love to set you up and beat you up, but they realize that if they make an example out of you or anybody else, other people are going to start doing it and they're going to lose. They don't want to make you a martyr.
Yeah.
But they will dig around and try to find something on you or exaggerate something or twist something. But you've just done a fabulous job. I mean, that's all I can say is it's just beautiful. I mean, what ran through your mind then? I mean, how did you decide to do this?
I wanted to do this at one of the Tea Party events, and I didn't have a sling for my AR yet. So I just carried concealed like I normally do, and I went to the tea parties, and when I heard that Obama was coming to town, I just thought, well, here's my chance. I can go. All I got to do is go find a sling, and I can go do this at that kind of event instead. And I just did it.
Well, you know, that's another huge point you make. People are already walking around with concealed everywhere. What is it so scary about it in the open? Under our common law, it was a weapon concealed that people freaked out about. Back when we were truly free, people freaked out over a hidden weapon, not one out in the open, because crooks, bad guys, highwaymen, freebooters, carried it hidden. Free men, good guys, carried them in the open. Stay with us. This is amazing information with Chris. He's quite a hero to the Second Amendment.
Spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless, and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake, and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the new world order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame, blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned. Go.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. It's Ron Paul's birthday and also Money Mom Day for Rand Paul's 2010 bid for U.S. Senate. I'm happy to report a very successful fundraiser at 1:30 p.m. Central Time and has already raised $489,078. For more information regarding this, come to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. Once more, it's www.GCNLive.com. And happy birthday to the Ron Paul family.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
There with that AR-15 strapped to his back and laid it out. In fact, there's a clip in the AP video, it's actually in one of the YouTube videos, where a lady comes over and says, "I'm offended, that makes me uncomfortable, your gun." Can you repeat here what you said to her and then elaborate on that? Because I think that really illustrates it beautifully.
I couldn't recall everything from memory, but she seemed to be like your average person that doesn't really understand firearm culture in America. And she was just afraid, and she was nice. We had a civil discussion. And
oh, come on. She was a dingbat.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't mean. She was, I wish people knew a little more than, what she knows, but you can't blame her too much. She was perfectly polite and everything.
Well, she came over and said, "That makes me uncomfortable." And you said, "Well, there was a time when the color of my skin would make you uncomfortable." And I think that really shut her up.
Yeah, a little bit. I think people need to come to terms with some fears in life. If you have freedom in this country, there's going to be danger that goes along with it. And you got to just learn how to deal with that. You can't just become hysterical about it and freak out and...
Yeah, that was the other great point you made, that we have hundreds of thousands of people die every year in car wrecks. We still drive cars. This is part of life. If you're just ninnying afraid of things all day, you're not going to have any life worth living. There is no safe life to live, and the government uses the name of safety to take all our freedoms, and we end up not even being safe. The cities that have the gun control, in fact, that one lady's like, "Well, you can't have a gun in D.C., And you're like, "Yeah, and they got the highest crime rate, lady."
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, go ahead.
Oh, I had another discussion with a man who said, we got into a debate about libertarianism, and I told him I'm not a libertarian, and, if I had to put a label on myself, I guess it would be an anarchist. And he said, "Well, how would you protect yourself from like a terrorist attack, like a Timothy McVeigh type attack?" And I said, "Well, how did the government protect people from a Timothy McVeigh type attack?"
Yeah, they can't do it. In fact, they actually did it. So.
Yeah, they still did it. So we empower these government agents to protect us, and we trust that they're going to use that power to protect us, and then they fail all the time anyway. So it's just silly.
Well, that's what's so asinine, is there's a lot of great cops. They put their lives on the line. It's a tough job in many cases. But the average 911 call takes like 11 and a half minutes. In fact, guys, search engine that, average 911 call. But I think it changes every year. But last time I saw it, it was right under 12 minutes. Folks, if somebody's breaking in your house wanting to come kill you, you don't have 12 minutes. You don't have 30 seconds. And then the police argue, "We don't have to protect you. It's not our job to protect you." And that's actually true under the common law. They are to respond after a crime has been committed to bring the people to justice before a jury of their peers. The police are hired by us to bring the criminal to us, because we will sit in judgment as the sovereigns. Your comments on that, Chris?
I'm sorry. I kind of something distracted me here. I didn't hear that last part.
I understand you got somebody talking to you. Look, specifically, you were pretty wound up when you were out there. I mean, not a lot, but compared to now, you were wound up. Relax, my friend. Tell us your bottom line. Was it empowering?
Yeah, it was empowering, and it was inspirational, too, just to realize, you know, that I could still do this in America, that here's a country where you can go, you know, you can go right up to the tyrant's front door, wherever he is, and, you know, stand there with your weapon and not get stomped out. You know, it was kind of inspirational.
Well, what did Frederick Douglass say? He, to paraphrase, he said, rights are not given, they're taken. And,
exactly.
And that's what this comes down to, is that if we act like a bunch of little cowards, we're going to be bent over a barrel and the establishment's going to have their way with us. We must stand up to bullies or we do get enslaved. And the poor people that want to be cowardly slaves, they think lying down to corruption keeps them safe. That actually brings the pain, brings the tyranny. I want to come back and take calls for you at 1-800-259-9231, specifically for our guests, 800-259-9231. And we're also going to get into some more stories of things we don't see on video of people that confronted him or things that happened. We'll be right back with our guest, Open Carry.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator this summer. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded, especially with the high-demand summer months ahead. Number four, the hurricane and dangerous summer storm season is here again. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, a longtime sponsor of ours. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun yet. So go to mysolarbackup.com or call toll-free 877-327-0365.
This is Alex Jones. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. I believe now is the time that you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes. This is real. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course, plus a 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar, and get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FRONTSIGHT.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web, at eFoodsDirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here and back with an abbreviated transmission 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Don't forget the podcast. That sucker's up to 167,000 people downloading it each and every day and growing. Free podcast at InfoWars.com right there on the listen page. Listen how you want, when you want, where you want. And you can save them as well. Also, complete archives at PrisonPlanet.tv, and we restream 24 hours a day. We have Chris, who made international news. The British were freaking out, the Europeans. Think of how crazy this is. The humans have been so trained that cops, black uniforms, cameras, SWAT teams, checkpoints, all the things that historically should freak us out. You shouldn't be scared of a citizen with a weapon. Like in Switzerland, you see men riding along with their guns on their backs, little kids with guns, never get invaded. Everybody's scared of them. Peaceful, lowest crime rate in the world. Our model really came off the Swiss, if you really want to know. They are just so afraid because we've been gelded. It's like a nation of, and they're like, it's so scary. People are posting Obama posters. Look at the Hayes County Free Press. It's a good newspaper, pretty good newspaper. In Hayes County, this is a place, it's a CPS happy hunting ground down there, kidnapping kids. But the newspaper is says freedom of hate speech. I'm being a little sarcastic about it being a pretty good newspaper. But the point is, this is right south of Austin. And it says, area resident Chuck Lutrick is a Republican, but he says he's outraged and sickened by the flyers stuck to telephone poles around Kyle, putting President Obama's face distorted into a gruesome Joker mask with the words socialism and fascism underneath. This is appalling, Lutrick said. I serve in the military. That's my commander-in-chief. That's your commander-in-chief? Well, it's our right and duty to criticize your commander. And your commander, by the way, they go and pick and choose the few people, the very few that are actually against this. You go look at the comments on all these newspapers and TV stations. Again, it's 1 out of 10 is against us. In order to awaken the people and Obama's agenda, Alex is organizing a contest centered around the Obama as the Joker poster that has Democrats and Obamanoids going ballistic, Jones states on his website, InfoWars.com. Locals began reporting flyers late last week, primarily plastered around Kyle, but they're part of a nationwide campaign spearheaded by conspiracy theorist and radio host Alex Jones. And then it just goes into saying, I'm basically a hate criminal. There's the headline, freedom of speech, freedom of hate speech. So it's illegal. Going back to Chris, isn't it really the media saying it's racist or hate to criticize the president? Aren't they making it a racial issue? Aren't they injecting race to divide and conquer?
Absolutely. I don't even believe in it. When people throw out the label of racist nowadays, I want to see what that person's saying, because chances are they're saying something that people don't want me to hear, and they have no way to refute what they're saying. So they just slap this label of racist on them because, you know, the sheep out there will just have an emotional response to that, and they'll shut them out, you know. So when I hear racist, I actually want to hear what the person has to say.
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly a political power. I mean, black leaders, white leaders, Hispanic leaders, Asian leaders do it, because if you come out and make stuff tribal, we're designed to act that way at a fundamental level. People can get a lot of power out of that. But at the same time, how do we not, like, take the open borders? And I know you're saying you're past libertarian at anarchy level, but as long as we have borders and governments, they are clearly using the migrant population to drive down wages and balkanize. But then if I just come out and engage in this, it almost feeds into it. So what do? Just let the New World Order do whatever they want?
I kind of got lost there on that. I'm sorry. I kind of...
No. I mean, it's a very, very, very complex issue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't blame you for... I mean, I'm dumbfounded, too, because I don't want to go around fighting with people. I don't want to go around. But I played a video earlier. I don't know if you've seen it. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com of people at town hall meetings saying they don't want Obamacare, being screamed at that they're racist, and the Hispanics are running around with Mexican flags screaming and yelling, saying, "This is our country. We're going to kick you white people out." And then screaming N-word at black people. I mean, it just seems like insanity.
I think this whole immigration thing is like, it's a straw man, you know? If we could get the government out of our economy and out of our lives, we would all live such prosperous, you know, easy lives. We wouldn't care about immigration policy. We wouldn't care about who was coming and who was going and all this other stuff. So I think that's what we should be focusing on instead of whether or not certain people can come here or not, you know?
It's just that the issue is that we do have this big government system where we have to have the insurance, the ID cards,
oh, yeah,
the everything, and then the illegals are just above it all doing whatever they want.
Yeah. So let's get rid of all these welfare programs, and let's get rid of that stuff so that it's a non-issue.
No, I agree with you, and that's exactly what they were there mad about. They want the free health care. It's not free. Don't they understand that?
No, they don't. They actually don't. Because every time you ask them who's going to pay for it, they go, "Well, why are you always concerned about money?" And it's just totally removed from their mind. I'm starting to believe they really do think that the government just produces wealth out of nowhere. Because that's how they act.
As somebody who's a black man, when you see the media saying, and of course they know it isn't true, they just brutally are using it cold-bloodedly, like Alan Keyes said last week, as a political weapon. But when you just hear them say racist, 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 I mean, have you had people call you racist because you don't like Obama?
Oh, I've had people call me racist all my life because I don't fit into their little box of what they think, you know, an African-American or black or whatever, you know, whatever the PC term is nowadays. If I don't fit into their little box, they call me a racist. And I look at it like a badge of honor. I must be saying something right if they're labeling me as a racist.
What do they call you, a self-loathing black person?
They'll call me racist, Uncle Tom. They'll go, "Oh, you must be one of those kind of black people that would join the KKK," or, you know, something, this ridiculous, ridiculous lunacy. And I think it's hilarious because they have to resort to insults like that because they cannot argue. They have no argument to bring to the table.
Yeah, they must think the Chappelle piece is real when he plays the part of the black Klansman.
Yeah, I guess so.
You ever seen that? It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of funny, yeah.
Oh.
I always ask them, tell me what position that I've, you know, tell me one argument I've made that's a racist argument. Stop just having a gut reaction and, you know, labeling some group as a racist group because you don't like what their position is. Tell me what is racist about their position, and I haven't heard any answers yet. So.
Well, I've also found that the so-called left are a bunch of control freak eugenicists. You know, if you're talking about an actual, even mid-level policy person, they're all the same. And Margaret Sanger and all of it, I actually find they're the real racist who
absolutely
are smart enough. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think like, for example, the Democratic Party. In my opinion, the Democratic Party looks at black people in this country as like purchased votes. You know, these are my voters. These are my votes. I own them. I've propagandized them for so long that they're mine. And if you try and open up their mind a little bit, they're going to label you as a racist so that people won't hear what you have to say. So I think they're the real racists.
Well, I agree. I mean, when Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews and Carlos Watson and all these guys get up on TV every day. I mean, every time I turn it on, they're saying, and I probably watch it twice a week. It must just be wall to wall. So I've seen CNN that it's racist, and here's the local paper, freedom of hate speech. And it's saying, and I've got national Spanish TV saying, arrest me, that it's racist. I mean, in America, I am being told that I need to be arrested, and then they've got the state attorney general preparing for felony charges against somebody for sticking them on telephone poles. But then Obama can be in the Washington Post saying, stick my posters and my campaign signs on stop signs. I mean, is that not hypocrisy?
Sounds like it to me.
Well, there's a lot of questions I could throw out at you, but I got a bunch of calls specifically for you. We've got on the line the gentleman who was out there with his AR-15. This woman walks over, the poster woman for dingbats of the planet. I don't mean to be mean, but I mean, I'm just so sick of idiots. And she comes over. And she comes over and goes, "You've got a fully automatic AK-47. And they always act like fully automatic is like a hydrogen bomb. If I wouldn't want a full auto assault rifle, 30 rounds on single shot. If you're trying to actually aim, you know, you want the 30 rounds. You want to be pull the trigger and shoot. Now, if you had a heavy gun in a machine gun placement where you were going to have human wave attacks, then a belt fed machine gun would be good. But this worship of full auto and the power of it, and how the media always shows handguns and calls them automatic weapons, and it's this magicalness of I mean, it's all psychological warfare. And she walks over and she goes, "Your AK-47's full auto." You go, "Well, it's an AR-15 and it's semi-automatic." And she's just such a, I mean, she's just such a moron. No, I mean, these women will send their kids off to school. They're young men, telling them, "Don't overfight back if somebody attacks you." They send their daughters to be, you know, raped and killed in college, and you know, never. I mean, these women all the time don't have guns. You better believe my daughters, when they move out of the house, they're going to know how to use guns. And if somebody starts busting in their door, they are going to kill you. But no, the feminists are like, "No, you got to make sure women are victims." I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
No, I mean, I want you to comment on what I was just saying.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I agree. You know what else is funny? It's like every woman I've ever met that arms herself and you know, takes pride in her ability to defend herself was always a really, you know, just a really cool chick. I mean, just, I don't know what it is about. You know, you put a gun in a woman's hand and teach her how to shoot it, and a lot of changes take place.
They become empowered, and that's the kind of woman we want. Strong, smart women that are teamed up with their men, that understand the systems against the family. Instead, the women are like, "I'm with the government, and I'm going to show you." And literally, they've become the house slave, and they actually have government manuals on this. The woman's in the house, and this wasn't just with blacks. The Romans did this. When they would enslave a German or French tribe, the Gauls or the Vandals or the others, the Austrians, the Ostrogoths, they would grab them and put the men out in the barn and the women inside and teach the women how to be over the men. Were you aware of those systems?
Whoa. I haven't heard of that.
Well, that's what feminism is. And Gloria Steinem admits she's CIA in her own book and was there to break the family up. And we're on to their scam. And there's nothing better than an empowered woman. Super sexy. Let's go ahead and, I hate these cowardly chicken neck domesticated little women that think their power is hating their man and putting their kids on Prozac and Ritalin and lording around the house with their weak husbands groveling. Those women are totally unhappy. But see, they pimp you and then the state pimps them. Let's go ahead and take a call from Jake in Texas. You're on with one hell of an American, one hell of a person who loves liberty. You're on the air with a man who had the AR-15 strapped to his back as the liberty and freedom just spreads across the country. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What a good-looking gentleman you look like, my friend. I gotta say, your performance was exemplary. I have to say.
Thank you.
Keep your hands off him now. Now, anyways, go ahead, caller.
I have to say so myself. You know what? One more thing you should have said. You know, when she came up to you, you know, trying to neuter you, you know, she just couldn't understand, like, what? I mean, the men with guns, and you should have just looked at her and given her a wink, you know. That's how we do it, you know.
Exactly. That's how it is, baby.
In Arizona.
That's how we roll.
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Jones. you should have said, man, you know, we're actually here to defend the president against assassination from these crazed healthcare maniacs who are just finding out what's going on.
To be honest with you, I definitely wasn't there to do that. But
That's what I would have said. I would have said, we should have put that one more in there. You know, we're not here just to, solely exhibit, our rights of open carry, this and that, exercise them. You should be like, well, we're here to defend Obama against,
I will say this. I would defend Obama because he's a puppet. He's an actor for foreign banks, just like Bush and everybody else before him, back to Kennedy. And so if anything ever happens to him, they're going to use it against the Second Amendment. But that's a great point. That's why we are all armed, is to keep the peace. And you have a lot of folks attacking the Tea Party people, and it would have been Chris's right to defend himself if somebody came after him with a meat cleaver or something.
Exactly. Of course. I mean, and there's no way that we're going to progress, forward freely unless we stick to our codes that we have written for us. They're so important. We have to do that,
All right, Jake, I'm going to let you go. Okay, let's go ahead and talk to Richard in Nebraska. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Last night on the Daily Show at the 7 p.m. viewing, they made a comment, and besides Keith Olbermann as well, but I thought it was rather insulting when they commented on about the health care bill, and then they said, these people also showed up with rifles and everything around there, and then he gives you a strange look in the camera and says, now what the so-and-so are these people doing with rifles at this event and everything, and like he makes you try and believe it's two different things, but in actuality, you like that health care bill.
Yeah, we've got the report. We've got the report. Let's play some of it now. Here it is.
Southern Poverty Law Center shows that right-wing militias, ideologically driven tax defiers, and so-called sovereign citizens are materializing in significant numbers. One federal agent noting, you see people buying into what they're saying. It's primed to grow. What's priming the movement's growth? An ailing economy, of course, but one key difference between militia groups in the 90s and what's fueling actions now, the face of the federal government. The enemy that almost all parts of the extreme right see as the primary threat to freedom is now black. Another key factor, a changing demographic. Contributing to the racial animus have been fears on the far right about the consequences of Latino immigration. But hate groups are not the only problem. Federal authorities are also focusing on those who may be contemplating politically charged assaults and acting alone. The FBI's Lone Wolf Initiative, launched to prevent single acts of hate-fueled violence, like the fatal shooting of three Pittsburgh police officers or the killing of a black security guard at the Holocaust Museum in D.C.
All right, stop right there. See, this is the guilt by association. They use this Von Braun, who'd been in federal custody, probably a stage deal, to then connect it to the Second Amendment. They just ran in here. CNN is attacking Chris right now. We've got him here on air. We're going to go into overdrive today with him because this is so important. We're going to continue with your phone calls. Richard, Jerry, Jenny, and others. Infowars.com is the website.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770.
Listen to the radio.
A few times, Chris has sounded distracted. He's getting so many text messages from his friends, hearing him on the show, that it's like my phone. When a text comes in, it goes, doot, and then pops up and kind of distracts you. So that's going on. Kind of like call waiting when somebody calls you, and then it like cuts out for 2 seconds. That happens a lot with callers when they call in. We're going to do 10 minutes of overdrive so I can finish up with Chris. Because this is so important, then we go back into rebroadcast. But the overdrive won't be on the AM and FM dial. It'll only be on the streams at InfoWars.com and on the podcast we send out as well. Let's jam in three calls that are on the Genesis board before we end the official show. By the way, CNN going to break. The guy saw it on screen. The text tweet questions. Aren't these town hall people terrorists? Shouldn't they be arrested? Coming back, CNN will discuss it. So there's the good news of coming out with our guns and saying, look, our guns aren't illegal. And breaking that image that guns are illegal, because people think they're already illegal. We've got to stop that or it's over. But then they're also hyping it and using it to scare everybody. We'll talk about that with Chris in Overdrive. Let's talk to Jerry in Indiana. You're on the air with Chris.
God bless you, Alex.
Welcome.
Appreciate what you're doing. And Chris, thank you for standing up for liberty in this country. Here's, if I could just throw this out here real quick. Here's the hypocrisy of the New World elite. See, Bill and Hillary Clinton, I called their office when Clinton come out against a gun ban in 1993. See, they're not really against guns. These criminals, these Bilderbergs, these elite, they tell half truth. If they were against guns, they wouldn't have their arm protection 24/7.
Well, of course, they're against our guns.
Absolutely. They're against poor people owning weapons. If you're a rich elitist, Bilderberg, CFR, trilateralist, hey, they've got enough money to hire in, you know, what's the group that went to
Iraq? Well, it came out that Sarah Blackwater.
Blackwater.
It came out that Sarah Brady owns guns, has bodyguards, Chuckie Schumer does, all these elitists do. What did Obama say in that closed meeting? He said these are bitter clingers, and all they've got left is their Bible and their gun. They've lost their farm. They've lost their house. But they've still got that they're a free person who at least has a right to defend themselves. And they want us to be like Venezuela or North Korea or someplace or Nicaragua where they can really push us around. And of course they cynically know that. Of course they cynically know the word socialist isn't the N word. They just cold-bloodedly operate at that level. Comments on that, Chris?
Well, another group that seems kind of funny, that people that want all this, national health care, single-payer health care, it's also the same crowd that doesn't want you to have a gun. Like the people that want to steal from you through the government, don't want you to have a weapon to be able to resist it, you know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, look at it. The government can't even read the 1,300-page bill that special interest wrote, but the government's going to be able to run our health care. And then they lie and say that government control isn't in the bill. I mean, you know, the government's lost all credibility because they've been caught lying so much. Thank you, Jerry. I'm going to give the number out for Jenny and Tessa and a few other callers for Chris in overdrive. It's 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. We're going to go to break here in a moment. Chris, come back 10, 15 minutes with you in overdrive, and we'll go into rebroadcast. But this will be internet only at prisonplanet.tv for the video subscribers and for all the free streams at Infowars.com and the podcast. Great job, crew. We'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. But we're going to continue right now in overdrive. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
All right, we are in overdrive. Do this maybe once a month or so. We have Chris. If you just joined us, Chris is the gentleman who you've seen all over national television, the white shirt, black tie. He's a black man. He's got the AR-15 strapped to his back outside an event where Obama was speaking with a dozen or so other people with firearms openly. Now, they could legally have them concealed, but see, under common law, it's illegal to conceal weapons, so they can give you a permit for concealed because that is illegal, hiding a weapon. So a permit is a right to do something. A license is a right to do something that's illegal. Open carry, you don't need a license except in a very few states that have unconstitutionally and a few cities that have unconstitutionally overthrown that. Because if they start overthrowing the Second Amendment, all of it goes. That's why a lot of states haven't done that. It's just they create the illusion, the perception that guns are already illegal across the board. So going back to Chris. Chris, tell us before we go to a few calls here, what is it like to see CNN, all these other channels, demonizing you, attacking you? I want to finish up with this Oberman clip as well. I mean, what is it like to see this happening?
It's just business as usual for them. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the radio. I don't really expose myself to any mainstream media sources because I've seen this forever. I've seen this my whole life. I mean, if you turn on the TV and you don't see that they're just trying to propagandize you and condition you and, you know, tell you what your opinion should be, I mean, you're a fool. I could care less what they're saying about me.
What do you listen to? You say you were familiar with this show. You reached out to us. I mean, what's your how long have you been listening to this show, or have you seen my films? How are you familiar with us?
I've seen a bunch of your films, and I have, like, I listen to the show on my cell phone every once in a while if I'm out somewhere and, you know, just to kill some time. I'll listen to the show through my cell phone with the number you can call. But mainly I listen to just independent. I look at independent news sources. IPS News is a good news source. I read, you know, a lot of blogs. I read LouRockwell.com. I read FreedomPhoenix.com. That's the kind of stuff I look at. There's a good YouTube channel. It's called Ron Paul. It's RP4409. The guy that puts that on is, you know, he makes some good videos.
So you're a fan of Ron Paul?
Oh, big time fan of Ron Paul. I think he's as far as I can think of off the top of my head right now, he's the only honest politician we've ever had. The only one that's, you know, cares anything about obeying his oath to the Constitution. And as far as I know, he has a perfect voting record, constitutional voting record. So.
Well, exactly. I mean, Dennis Kucinich, you can like him because he's real and because he actually does what he says he'll do. And he makes some good stands, but then he wants our guns.
He doesn't see the big picture.
Yeah, I mean, he's a true believer, but he's really dangerous in that respect. And then you've got a Cynthia McKinney who will expose government white slavery rings and corruption and some of the bad things Israel's doing with the Zionism and things. But then she won't. She also wants our guns. Now, I like Cindy Sheehan. She finally gets it and says, yeah, we have a tyrannical government. We shouldn't have any gun control. Somebody like a Cindy Sheehan's a real person. You know, she's come a long way in her process. But I don't understand how anybody wouldn't understand. Fundamentally, we need to all be armed.
Absolutely.
Well,
if you're a good, honest person, wouldn't you want to be armed? Well, I mean, the bad guys have guns. Well, if you're a good, honest person and you know you'd never harm anybody that wasn't trying to harm you, why not stack the odds in our favor and go out and learn how to learn some gun safety and get yourself some guns? And, you know, why not?
Chris, what would you like to say to CNN and others that are posting these questions for the audience of, you know, is Chris and these people basically, are they terrorists? They're coming out and saying, and then by extension, oh, look, they've got guns. Are they terrorists? And then they expand that to, oh, my gosh, you know, these evil people, should they be arrested? Should the Tea Party people, should the town hall people be arrested? They're now openly saying this. The Southern Poverty Law Center is now openly coming out and saying we're going to be violent, saying we're the terrorist. What would you like to say to CNN?
Well, I guess I would say that, in my opinion, the term terrorist today is used to is applied to people that are just resisting occupation, resisting oppression. So, I mean, that's what I'm doing. So if that's what I am, that's what I am. But, I mean, I have no intention to harm anybody that's not attacking me. Anything, you know, my weapons are for defense. They're not for defending myself from criminals because, you know what, honestly, I haven't really been a victim of much crime in my life. I've been a victim of government crime from the state. But that's what my guns are for, is to pretend. That's what the Second Amendment was written for. It was written to protect people from the government. It was so that when they get out of control, we can, you know, do what we have to do. You know, any means necessary to stop them from controlling us.
Any means necessary. That's the Malcolm X quote. So you believe in that?
I absolutely believe in that. Absolutely. You're only as free as you're willing. I say this to people, and it sounds kind of extreme, but you're only as free as you're willing to, you know, pull a trigger. That's as free as you are. But when you pick the line where you're willing to pull a trigger, that's how free you are.
Well, it is the willingness. That's what our founders did, and that's why FEMA. Have you ever seen the footage we got from a fireman of FEMA in Kansas City teaching police and firemen that the founders were bad and that America's bad?
No, I haven't seen that. You mean you find so much stuff that's like getting into all of it to be like a full-time job, man. You're exposing so much stuff.
Well, no, I'm backing up what you're saying. I mean, you've seen the DHS report we broke and the MIAC report where they say gun owners, period, and returning vets are what Homeland Security's main mission is. I mean, we knew day one this was set up for the American people. Now they just admit it. I say they're the terrorists.
Yeah, they're trying to. In fact, I don't know if this is even true, but I've read some definition on the term terrorist that it was originally meant to apply to like governments attacking their own people.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't done much more research. I got to look into it more, but I mean, what else is there to say? If that's really what the true definition of it is, then I don't know.
Well, you know, it's really a travesty that so many people don't understand the basics of liberty. But at the same time, are you buoyed? I mean, are you excited? Are you seeing a huge awakening taking place?
I don't know. There's like a lot of different feelings. One thing I'm definitely disappointed in is the majority of the Second Amendment movement. You know, for a long time I thought the pro-gun crowd was the crowd that kind of got it a little bit, and I'm coming to the realization that most people in the Second Amendment movement, they're not really for gun rights. They're not really for defense. They don't really understand what the real purpose of the Second Amendment was. They're just gun enthusiasts. They're like people that collect Beanie Babies. They collect guns instead, and they could care less. You know, they want a government that's going to allow them to have guns, but if the government ever says no, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to hand them right over, and They're basically worthless. They're just they contribute nothing. They're just in the way. If you want to be a part of a real Second Amendment, you know, a real, you know, a group that stands up for your right to protect yourself with firearms, there's groups like Gun Owners of America, AZCDL, JPFO. These are like the real gun groups. The NRA, you know, has done a lot because they're so big, but they're not really. That's like the beginner. That's like where if you're into guns and you're kind of a beginner in the Second Amendment movement, that's where the beginners go. When you want to elevate things, you go to the other groups.
Well, it's worse than that. I finally got Gun Owners of America to come out with the history and the documents that they had and we had, because the NRA was founded by the federal government. The NRA actually supported the 68 Gun Control Act, the basis of the nightmare we live under today. That they've expanded the NICS and all the rest of this registration. So they're actually a Judas goat. How do you get 150 million gun owners to give up their rights? You have a group that claims they represent you that leads you to the slaughter.
Exactly. Exactly. And those are the same people that are coming out against me. I've been a lifelong NRA member. I don't need to hear anything else you have to say because I know what your position is. You're an enthusiast. You're not an activist.
Well, they do like a ninny around. I remember they had a bill in 1998 in the Texas legislature. It was in the Dallas Morning News. And we were fighting it again in 2000, next time it was in session. And the bill would ban junior shooting sports in Texas, shut down private transfer. They call it gun show loophole, but it wouldn't let me sell a gun to my neighbor or buy a gun for my dad or anything. And would create, you know, all this many times worse than the 68 Gun Control Act. And the NRA wasn't sending lobbyists, and I was down there with the hundreds of people. There'd be 300 of us to speak against it. They'd have four paid guys playing the race card. They got, you know, gangbanging type black guys to come up and go, we're dangerous, we're gang members, we can buy guns cheap and do stuff. And then the liberals brought them out and paid them off in the hall. I went and got video of it. They were using the black guys as like a race car. Oh, look, scary black people. They've got guns. You want to ban them. Wouldn't let our 300 people speak. But luckily I caught the bribery. And then the NRA attacked us in the Dallas Morning News and said we were extreme, that they were neutral on the gun bills. So, see, they are actually a vicious anti-gun group. See, they'll put out rhetoric. They're for it, Chris. But then when it comes time to actually do something, that's when you find out they're agents.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. All I know is all their members are opposed to what I did, and all the real gun groups are you know, applauding me. AZCDL, you know, wants to give me an honorary life membership. I mean, these are the real pro-gun groups, the no-compromise gun groups. If the NRA was doing its job and really educating all of its members, the gun debate wouldn't even be an issue. There would be no gun debate in this country.
We got 150 plus million gun owners, 400 million guns. We rule this country. It's ours.
Exactly. Exactly. If it wasn't for these weak, you know, like these people that are sugarcoating everything and sending this weak little message, no compromise. We can't compromise at all on this.
Let's take a call from Jenny in Idaho. You're on the air with Chris, a modern American hero for the Second Amendment. Go ahead.
Chris, you're my hero.
Wow.
Thanks to you, I am wearing my gun now, out in public. I'm in an open carry state. And Alex, yeah. I want to know, when do I get my Chris T-shirt that says, Protect Your Second Amendment, Show Me Your Gun?
Well, I mean, there's so many great T-shirt ideas.
I don't want to be on the T-shirt, no.
You don't want to be on the T-shirt, Chris?
No, I don't want to be on T-shirts. No.
CNN's already using you for their anti-gun agenda, so you might want to go on CNN or Fox. Jenny, hold on one second. We'll go back to you. You might want to go on these channels just with talking points and just stick to those, but only agree to do it live so they can't edit you. Because right now they're only going one way with it. But I guess at the end of the day, you're getting your info out, so it doesn't matter. But Jenny, go ahead.
I'd like to challenge everybody in an open carry state to start wearing their guns.
I'd like to challenge everybody that's not in an open carry state to go wear your guns. And if you have to group together to do it and do it in large numbers, then do it that way. But
well, people should be – the reason I say it's it takes a lot of courage and he's a hero, and other the fella in New Hampshire is too, is because the government will try to provocateur, especially if they know it's a predestined event. And I would look for them to try something. But we can't not go out and engage them and demand our rights by exercising them. Rights are not given. They're taken. They're taking them from us. We got to take them back. And so, in fact, pull up the Frederick Douglass quote. I want the exact quote about Frederick Douglass. Rights are taken, not given. I want to get the exact quote up on screen. Thanks, guys. Frederick Douglass. But look. They're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to have to do what we're going to do. But we can't just sit here and let the world go past us as spectators. So I commend what he's doing. I would say, though, I've seen cases, one in Colorado that's an open carry. This guy went to a rally with one. They went ahead and arrested him, set him up, sent him to prison, even though there wasn't a law. It's like Kelly Rushing in Lyon County, Kentucky. He was in the newspaper, and this is one of many cases. He gave a state police officer a video with Ron Paul on it and then one of my films after it. They indicted him for the Ron Paul video. That was listed in the court. And my film, Road to Tyranny. And they said the officers felt threatened by the content was anti-law enforcement. So I called the judge up at home and I said, because it was his number and information, and I said, well, I'm not getting in your trial, but is this newspaper article accurate that you are presiding over a trial over somebody giving somebody an Alex Jones, Ron Paul video? And he said, yes, that trial's coming up next week. I'm not going to talk to you about it. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And I said, okay. I just couldn't believe this news article I was faxed. And then I talked to Kelly Rushing, upstanding member of the community, no criminal record. And when the cops came and arrested him, they laughed at him when he was in the car and said, you're going to prison for giving me that video. I mean, they're crazy. So do we stop giving videotapes out? That was like six years ago, so it was a VHS tape. I mean, do we stop giving videos out because the police say they're illegal? I mean, do we stop putting signs up on street corners because they say it's illegal? Do we just bend over completely to them? I mean, that's the big question. Good to hear from you, Jenny. I appreciate your call. Closing comments along those lines, Chris?
No, I do have one closing comment I'd like to say. I'd just like to thank the Phoenix Police Department for handling everything in the most professional way they possibly could. I think they're the most professional police department in the country.
Now, I did notice they did have some armed officers around you. Were they federal marshals or were they Phoenix?
I think they were just like Phoenix detectives or something, but they were awesome. We had some discussions and chit chatted a little bit, and they said we're here to make sure no one jumps on you. We're not at all concerned about what you're doing, and they did.
Yeah, their body language, because I've watched the tapes, was friendly, and they seemed excited, they were looking at you approvingly. So sounds like there are actually some good people. Specifically, tell me about your chit chat.
A lot of them were coming up to me and telling me, everyone's asking me if you can do this. Can you do this? Can you do this? And you know, there's one of them said, don't tell them I said this, but I think what you're doing is awesome. And he said, I'm all for it. And it was nothing but positive things from the Phoenix Police Department. They were outstanding. They said, we would rather be out here. You know, our job is to make peace, is to keep the peace. That's all we're here for. And you have every right to be here exercising your views, and the opposite, the other side, all these people have the right to express their views. And our job here is only to keep the peace. And I was just blown away. I was, you know, because I come from Cleveland, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, their job is not to keep the peace. You know, they do whatever the heck they want. And I'm just very proud of Phoenix Police Department.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw that on the video. The police officers, the body language was, you know, nine-tenths of communication is nonverbal, was, we love this guy, this is great. But if you'd have come out there with a mask and dressed like a clown in camo, I mean, camo is for Southeast Asia. These people do it, and then it just looks clownish. I'm going to tell militias this. If you're going to wear camouflage at a public event, you better be in badass shape, and you better have that uniform looking exactly right. And you better, you know, because if it doesn't, you look like clowns. It's like Republic of Texas. I support investigating that, looking at that, talking about that. Texans making their own decision. But, I mean, hillbillies going, I'm the president. No, I'm the president. You know, 100 different hillbilly groups going, and like their wives going, Mr. President, the admiral's here. And they pulls up with a bass boat. And I'm not even joking. You know, that discredits everyone. But you out there, clean cut, well-spoken, with it strapped to your back, that's a good image. I predict they're going to send people out masked. They're going to send provocateurs out. They're really scared of this, but we keep catching them. Denver cops, we caught provocateuring. We caught the Ottawa police. They caught the British doing it. So they're kind of scared of provocateuring because they know we're looking for it. See, now we're in the game. Now we know the game. It's not like our first season of football. We've gone through Pee Wee League, and now we're, you know, into the junior high stuff, and we're about to go into varsity. And then we're going to go into the college and pro level. And the globalists have been playing the pro level for a long time. We are quickly coming up in the next few years on every level. No matter what they do, all their little tricks and programs are now being exposed. You see what I'm saying, Chris?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I also think that armed citizens at these events, you know, kind of discourage provocateurs from causing trouble. Because now it's not just, you know, they can run into a crowd and mace people and there's nothing they can do, or they can throw rocks and throw bottles. Well, now there's armed people, armed good people in the crowd that can fight back, or, you know.
It's
dangerous for a provocateur now.
Say that again. I'm sorry. It's dangerous for a provocateur?
With armed people in the crowd, it's dangerous for a provocateur.
Well, this is the spirit of 1776 rising again, Chris, and we commend your courage. And I think it's an important message to the establishment and to the minions and to the communist parasite rabble. We're done playing games. And they wanted to have Obama's youth brigades with M16s training the youth for this to be used against us. And I think it fundamentally freaks them out to see you guys out there with this much courage. But I think real men and women resonate with the courage and knew what it took for you to come out there and do it. Plus, the police are like, there's already concealed weapons all over the place out there. They know how stupid it is.
Out there.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I just said there could have been thousands of guns concealed out there. We have no idea.
But, I mean, that's my point. You're in the middle of downtown Phoenix. There were thousands of guns. That's one of the most popular concealed carry states. I've seen the numbers. In fact, it's one of the top states for people carrying firearms concealed. I know I've seen that. So, that's the issue I'm trying to make here is, the police live in a gun world, so they know there's already guns everywhere. They would rather see the rifle, the handgun, out in the open, because that means you're in defense. That means I'm out in the open, I'm armed, I'm here to keep the peace as a citizen, as a militiaman. You don't go run around in the woods and worship some commander, you know, who tells you, you know, how great Hitler is. He's probably a federal officer. That's not being in the militia. Being in the militia is doing what you did out there openly. And so, again, this is a shift, a paradigm shift that's happening to where I didn't even recognize the paradigm shift. I know about concealed carry, but about open carry. But when I've talked about how important it is, but when I got reports, guy with an earpiece out there with a gun, I immediately thought provocateur because I didn't even gauge the amount of courage to go to a presidential event and do it. The boldness of it, I wasn't even ready to deal with. And we still need to look out for groups and people. And, you know, I mean, you know, there are a lot of covert agendas going on, and it's all very complex. And the enemy's very, very treacherous. This is just so exciting what's happening. And, again, a free man would have his sword or his rifle openly on him. It's the criminals, the murderers, what police even 50 years ago, 100 years ago, were looking for was somebody with a hidden weapon. The bad guys have it hidden. That was the rule. The good guys have it in the open. You have your weapon out in the open. But see, they made it out of style, uncool to carry. That's why in the famous Lindbergh trial, you know, everybody you can watch the newsreels, had their guns in the front row, you know, and people were saying, well, how can you let Lindbergh in? He may shoot the guy that kidnapped the baby. But the issue was, we've gone from guns in court to my dad just 40 years ago, or I guess like 42 years ago, in high school, just taking a shotgun in and putting it in his locker, to, oh my God, you know, the schools are now little prisons, so that the shooter can come there knowing that no one will stand up to him.
Yep.
That was a 10-minute rant. I apologize. Well, listen, tell me more about the Phoenix police. So that's a good headline for us. Phoenix police told open carry demonstrator at Obama event that they supported you. What else did they say?
That was about it. I mean, that was everything. Just that they were just there to keep the peace, and they had no problem with what we were doing, and that's it.
And, of course, there were other guys. Did you know the other guys that were out there armed?
I was acquainted, kind of loosely acquainted with the other people. Just a few, just like three or four other people there.
And the police didn't pull anybody over, follow them home, or none of that?
Not at all. They didn't even ask for anyone's information. Nothing. I didn't even have any identification on me. I had purposely left cell phone, keys, ID, everything at home.
Now look at England. First, they say, we're going to line everybody up and ask you questions. This happened to me. This happened to both the Watson brothers who live there. Happens to their parents. Happens to everybody now. They just go, excuse me, line up, checking IDs. Thank you. Are you a terrorist? Are you a pedophile? Are you? And I had the Wall Street Journal writer here. That happened to her repeatedly when she was in England doing a story about tourism. I mean, it's just everywhere. And now under the TSA model from the airports, they admit that airport model of being searched, submitting, the act of prostration, taking your shoes off, the act of submitting, the act of being, this is all about training us to where you're not even nervous now. If you fly a lot, you're like, no big deal, going to the checkpoint, you're not nervous. They're pleased by that. Ah, the enslavement is going well. Comments on that?
I know exactly what you're talking about. A good example of that is there's a Border Patrol checkpoint in, I think it's between Gila Bend and it's just west of Gila Bend, I believe. And I think it's like 60 or 70 miles away from the border. And my pastor, Baptist pastor, actually got beat up by the Border Patrol at that checkpoint, which has nothing to do with the border. It doesn't even run north and south. And all they do is just ask you whether you're a citizen or not. And I believe that this checkpoint, the only purpose of it is to get us used to stopping throughout our daily lives and answering questions to federal agents. And, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, it's been documented, as you know. They just wave the illegals through. But they see a family of Americans, black, white, Hispanic. It's like, we're going to have one hell of a time today, boy. Going to teach them how to be slaves. Now I'm starting to get a clearer picture. You go to Pastor Anderson's church, I see.
Yeah, I do. Proudly. I think it's the best church in the world.
So more and more, he's the pastor beat up within an inch of his life for just asking the lordships. How is that going with him right now?
It's just a circus. The whole process is just a total circus, and I couldn't even begin to explain how ludicrous it is.
Well, this has been an amazing interview, and I appreciate you spending time with us today, and I look forward to having you back on as this develops and as this unfolds. And we just appreciate you, Chris, and your courage doing this. It just shows how one person can change the world. The guy in New Hampshire starts it. It spreads to Arizona. Now people all over the country are doing open carry. And the illusion, the grip of enslavement is loosening. But the enemy is getting ready to counterstrike against all of us. So pray for Chris. Pray for myself. Pray for my whole crew. Pray for what we're doing, because I didn't spend any time on it today. But the enemy's coming after us at every level. I have felt a disturbance in the force as well. So we'll see you back live tomorrow. Retransmission starts now. Thank you so much, Chris.
No problem. Thanks, Alex.
Take care, buddy. It's great to be real. Great to be alive. Great to be part of the second American Revolution to restore the Republic, the spirit of 1776. Don't tread on me. Great job, crew. You're all bad, but your leadership has got, you know, your